afternoon and welcome to the only show you need to get you through your Tuesday. To get you through this coronavirus crisis in a world where few things are reliable, we are reliable. It's Jason Rancho live on AM 770 KTTH. Streaming live on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo and Google Home. Got a lot to get to. Only have an hour left to do it. Daycare centers start to reopen here in Washington, but why not schools? We're going to get into that. State Representative Carolyn Eslick, she's going to stop by to blast Governor Jay Inslee's stay-at-home order. Plus, what is the Washington Commissioner for Unemployment? Why does she still have a job? Simple question. We're going to get into that and so much more. This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by You Build It. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So, let's find out what's trending.
What's trending at home?
It started simply as, we mistakenly sent $1.6 million out to fraudsters. People who, using stolen identities, asked for unemployment. And $1.6 million in the grand scheme of things, while outrageous, is not all that much. That ballooned to hundreds of millions of dollars. Your dollars, our tax dollars. Handed over to a Nigerian crime ring in an unemployment scam that needs to be remembered come November. The commissioner, Susie Levine, who's been in charge as this happened, did not get notice of these red flags, and there were many, gave hundreds of millions of dollars to fraudsters in Nigeria. While at the same time, I've got listeners who are going on week number 10 without even an email or a phone call from the Employment Security Department, let alone an unemployment check. A check that is their money coming back to them at a time when they need it most. They're not getting paid, but Nigerian fraudsters are. Now, Susie Levine, this commissioner from ESD, who doesn't have any real-world experience that justifies putting her in this position, she wants you to know she understands how much money we lost.
We believe that this translates into hundreds of millions of dollars.
It's a lot.
I realize that this is a jaw-dropping figure.
Jaw-dropping.
Which is why we want to continue our maximum transparency approach and share that number with you, even before we have an exact figure.
So, transparency, you haven't told us how this happened. You haven't told us what the vulnerability was. In fact, Brian T. Moran, a U.S. attorney for this district, called out ESD and said something along the lines of, hey, maybe you should fix that vulnerability. And at the time, Susie Levine was all like, well, you know, we're not... Seems weird that you're talking about the vulnerability when we haven't been able to fix it, which is also kind of just, why don't you just fix it? And then you had David Postman, the chief of staff for Governor Inslee, saying he essentially, what are you talking? If he knows of a vulnerability, why doesn't he share it? Why doesn't he tell us what it is? Y'all didn't know what the vulnerability was? You told us at $1.6 million that you lost. How about this? I believe they knew about the hundreds of million dollars that were given away for way longer than they're admitting. I think when they pointed out, when David Postman gave a quote to the Seattle Times saying that he's besides himself for the U.S. attorney to point out they had a vulnerability, I'm willing to bet that they knew that this was hundreds of millions of dollars given away to scammers while Washingtonians are suffering. But instead of doing the right thing, which in my view would be to step aside, to step down, to quit right now in shame, Susie Levine is instead deciding to deflect. This wasn't just about Washington.
That this is not a breach. That this isn't just happening in Washington State. This is happening to and across the entire nation.
Hmm.
And speaking of the whole nation,
okay.
This is part of a sophisticated fraud operation from criminals that all states are vulnerable to.
All states
and
are
many
vulnerable.
States have been targets of, including Washington State.
Well, Washington was the primary target. I guess you kind of forgot that. You want to pretend that we've just been caught up in something that's happening all across the country. It's not. They targeted Washington State. The scammers specifically targeted Washington. They didn't specifically target Nebraska or Idaho or New York. The primary target was Washington State because they saw the vulnerability. And with respect, I don't know how hardcore of a fraud crime ring this group of Nigerians are. Something tells me that they took advantage of something because you weren't doing your job, Susie Levine. Apparently, there were a ton of red flags here. All they did, using stolen information, all they did was put in their claims at the same time as a whole bunch of other Washingtonians, and you missed it because you weren't paying attention. You missed the fact that a lot of these cases, if not all of these cases of fraudulent money going out, was going to banks outside of the state of Washington. This happened despite putting $44 million in a software upgrade that was supposed to detect this kind of fraud. This happened under your watch, and you were doing nothing but deflect. You're not answering tough questions. And you've got a governor who's letting you get away with it because he doesn't want to be attached to this scandal. He doesn't want to be attached to this scandal. He didn't show up to the press briefing with you to discuss this. He's not tweeting about this. He's completely ignoring it because he understands that this would be one in a long list of massive scandals due to his incompetence. But this isn't just purely about Governor Jay Inslee's incompetence. This is Susie Levine, who should not have a job. He should fire her right now. He should fire her right this second. He won't, because he's a political coward. She's not going to quit because she understands she wouldn't get her unemployment check for some 10 weeks after she puts in the request that, by the way, at the beginning, won't actually be responded to. Won't actually go through. It'll be automatically reject it. Because you know what it is you're doing, huh? Now, if you think she should step down, if you think she should be fired, I want you to help me shine a spotlight on this issue. Because I wrote about it at KTTH.com. You can go there directly and get the story, or you can just text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770, 1-800-465-8770, and I'm going to send you this blog that I want you not just to read, but I want you to post it everywhere, and I want you to tag, whether it's on Facebook or on Twitter or on LinkedIn, I want you to tag the governor. I want you to tag Susie Levine and the Employment Security Department. If you want, you go to my Twitter feed and you just hit the retweet button because I did it already. But we need to call her out because this is absolutely absurd. And she's going to get away with it. Because, you see, she's a big donor to the Democratic Party. That's what she has in her background that makes her suitable, I guess, for the ESD. She gives money to Democrats. She was an ambassador under President Obama, and now she's the head of a department that gave away hundreds of millions of your tax dollars, our tax dollars. So text RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? National.
Will the RNC be in Charlotte or somewhere else? There is now a debate. It was sparked in part by a tweet over the weekend from the president, who was upset that Charlotte officials seemed to indicate that an RNC as planned could not move forward because of the coronavirus, that they have some concern over the idea of a full attendance convention center. And so the president, not wanting to have to do a sort of half RNC event, he wants it to go on as scheduled, the way that they had planned or are planning. He said maybe it should leave Charlotte. Now, over the weekend, the New York Times printed what appears to be a fake story, at least that's what the president says, claiming the president wanted to move it to Florida, where he's got some property. He says that that's not true. He wants to keep it in Charlotte. But we're hearing from people like Larkin Eggleston, which is a horrible name for a politician. Larkin? It sounds like a crook.
There's good Larkins out there.
Name one.
Barry Larkin.
No,
Jr.
First name Larkin. His first name is Larkin. Give me a first name. He's got a last name for a first name. You don't trust people like that.
Well, I can't.
Put that in the life lessons book.
Okay, that's a good one.
Don't trust people whose first names are last names. So, council member Larkin Eggleston, Democrat, was on CNN, and of course he turned this into a partisan argument.
Mar-a-Lago might be willing to host a convention that has no safety precautions in place, but Charlotte, North Carolina is not.
Oh, you're so brave, Larkin. You're a hero. Larkin.
That doesn't mean that there can't be some sort of an in-person convention, but it would undoubtedly have to be scaled down and made at least partially virtual or remote, in the same way that the Democrats have talked about they're going to have to do in Milwaukee. So I think people want to see and hear Republican leadership acknowledge that those changes are going to be necessary, the way the Democrats have.
Well, the Democrats have, because it's part of their agenda. They flatly said that the president has created an environment that the coronavirus will spread easily. So they, of course, have to abide by their fear-mongering. It's not based in any reality. We see the states that have opened up in a responsible way not see an increase in coronavirus issues. Certainly not death. Certainly not hospitalizations. They're actually doing it really, really well. And the president believes that we can safely move forward with an RNC. I agree with that. Now, at the same time, there are some folks like the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, Republican, who's taking advantage of this and saying, hey, if they're not going to have you in Charlotte, North Carolina, you can come here.
Florida wants to work with you. If you're a business, if you're a sports team, if you have some of these events, we want to work with you to get to yes. I can't guarantee every single idea is going to necessarily be something that we're going to be able to do, particularly like tomorrow. But as you look in the summer and stuff, we definitely want to work. So the door's open. We want to have the conversation, whether it's RNC, DNC, whatever, because I think it would be good for the people of Florida.
I love Ron DeSantis so much. Oh my God, do I like him. I just want, just for a month, can we trade governors? Can we get Ron DeSantis and give them Jay Inslee? I mean, granted, Jay Inslee's going to ruin Florida. But I mean, Florida's kind of already a horrible place to visit, so we can just give him that. But then we can take Ron DeSantis. Because I love that he's actually fighting on behalf of his state. Do you ever hear Governor Jay Inslee fight on behalf of Washington? Seriously, do you ever hear him say, you know what, we want to make business work here. We're going to do what we can. We can't say yes to every case, every scenario, but we're going to do our best to bring you here because that's where we want you to stay. Do you hear that from Jay Inslee? No, he doesn't care. Florida, they care. That said, I wanted to stay in Charlotte because I don't want to go to Florida because we've already booked the tickets for me to go to Charlotte for the RNC convention. I've submitted all the paperwork. We're getting our Secret Service pass soon. I don't want to have to, because I'm going to have to rebook the flights.
Yeah, you can.
And I don't want to go to Miami. Ugh.
Why wouldn't you want to be on Miami Beach instead of Charlotte?
First of all, Florida is a horrible place to go.
I agree. And that's
I
why
hate
you,
Florida.
It's a horrible place where you go and do horrible things.
Humidity is going to be killer. I don't want to deal with Florida. And it's further. It's further.
By like an hour.
Yeah, when you're already on a flight. I think the flight from SeaTac to Charlotte, we got it direct, is like 5 hours. 4.5 hours. It's too much. You think they put me up in first class?
No.
I said, you know what, if you don't, I quit. And they said, okay, quit. And then I had to take coach. So I don't want to have to change any of that. I want to go to Charlotte. And I want to hang out with Nikki Haley. And we're going to become brunch buddies. And we're going to talk about politics, and it's going to be adorable. And everyone's going to be all like, hey, let's write a story about, it'll be on Time Magazine, or that doesn't exist anymore. It'll be in the Washington Post. Of course, it'll be an attack ad. But it would be like, it's so adorable that talk show host and future president Nikki Haley are brunch buddies. And we just talk about stuff we have for brunch. It's not even that big of a piece. It's just lots of photos.
You have too much free time.
No, this is just because I have fantasies about this. On a regular basis. I mean, she would join us with Jennifer Lawrence, actress, would also join, and it would be just because I think we would all get along.
But you're saying if you go to Miami, all this is ruined.
Yeah, I mean, Nikki Haley doesn't want to go get brunch in the middle of a heat wave of humidity where it's going to flatten her hair and my hair. Think we want that?
I think that would be better for your hair right now.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, at that point, though, hopefully we'll have a haircut. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The economy.
So daycare centers across the state of Washington are reopening. They've got, of course, new policies and procedures in place. Cuomo says all of Washington's kinder care learning centers are now open. They say the company had kept some facilities open as essential centers, but they've made immediate changes to adhere to CDC guidelines. And what they're doing is what you expect. They're doing temperature checks at the front door, not just for the kids, but also for the employees. The employees are wearing masks, and they're limiting who is allowed inside. And so now the kids are dropped off at the front of the building, not allowing the parents to go in with them, which just adds an extra 13 seconds of uncontrollable crying from the kid as they're being brought into a daycare center where everyone looks like a scary doctor because their faces are covered. It literally looks like you're sending your kid to a hospital, which they're going to interpret it as some kind of weird experiment that's going to be done on them, much like we saw in the film Logan, which was the movie where Wolverine dies.
Yeah, which timeline does that one take place in? They jump back and forth between timelines constantly.
No, this is the future.
Okay.
Because he's old and an alcoholic. So that's what's going to happen there. Which, okay, as long as you're opening and you're doing it safely, I certainly don't have a problem. Michelle Mazzullo is the vice president for the region for KinderCare Learning, and she spoke to Como.
Children take their cues from you. The more confident you are about the new process, they will be confident about it as well. Big, confident, goodbye, have a great day, you're going to see your friends.
It also means if your kid is a pain in the ass, it's because the parent's a pain in the ass. That's really what she was saying there. I am curious why we can't reopen schools if we can figure out daycare centers. If we can make them safe, why can we not make a school safe? Now, they're doing something that was considered or at least talked about last week when we were saying what would the school districts in your neighborhood, what would they look like in this new COVID world? And one of the ideas that was put out there was the kids would stay in the same room the entire day and the teachers would be the only ones coming in and out. So you wouldn't have a kid going from, you know, the classroom and on the far side of the campus, going upstairs or three flights to the next one all across in the other building, trying to keep all that interaction to a minimum. And that's what they're doing in this case. They're calling it a pod setting, meaning the children are in the same classroom with the same teachers, in this case, every day. But again, depending on the schools, high schools, for example, the teachers would move. If you can do that right now safely here, how about this? You can probably do it safely right now with schools. It seems to me that still dealing with kids, it might be a little bit difficult on the teacher side, who have to deal with the kids maybe getting stuck in that one room and feeling like they need to leave, they need to go for a walk or something, especially when you're younger. You've got a whole bunch of energy that you're not going to be able to Okay, it's going to be a little bit tough for the teachers. And yes, the teachers now actually have to go to work to collect that paycheck that they're currently collecting. Seems like we can get it done. And that's the bottom line. See, I still need an out.
Yeah, you got to work on that.
But you got to come up. I'm not going to come up with it. So if someone wants to text us at 1-800-465-8770, I need a power out. Like, and that's what rants.
No, that's bad.
I mean, but I know. That's what I'm saying. Someone else has to come up with it.
You're not creative.
I'm not. I don't deny that. I'm brilliant in every other way. I'm just not that creative, at least in this world. I don't know how to end. I need a statement I can make when I've come up with that. You slam your hand like this on the console.
As you say something?
Yeah. And blah, 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 blah.
Okay, so you have the motion down, but you don't have the word,
I don't
the
have
verbiage.
That's what I need the help with. At 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending on vacation?
Yeah, there was a jam-packed pool party at the Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. And the video of it went viral. And as Brian Kilmeade of Fox News notes, this was dumb.
When I see what happened in the Ozarks, when I see what's happening in other places like that, the video you just showed, it ruins it for everyone. It destroys my argument that we are acting responsibly as a country when I see that video. I'm saying to myself, how am I going to go out and trumpet the responsibility of the American people to go ahead and stand up for our economy when I see that? But at the same time, I travel Long Island beaches personally. I couldn't believe how responsible people were. I saw people sitting on the beach with masks on, 6 feet away. So the Ozarks, for one thing, I guarantee you, no one in the Ozarks is self-quarantining.
Good point. I mean, when we say we want people to go into the world, right, and reopen the economy, we're saying we want you to do that in a responsible way. This was not responsible. Now, it's a little bit different in that it's young people, and you generally don't expect young people to be responsible, but they can't completely ignore the fact that it is dangerous, and it's certainly a bad look. Because as a result, now you've got public health officials in Missouri, but also in Kansas, coming out and saying, if you attended this thing, you need to self-quarantine for 14 days. Do you think any of them are going to self-quarantine for 14 days?
No way.
Nope. You get a quarantine for a hookup on as a one-night stand. That's about it. That's all you're getting from these people.
Young people are the worst.
They really are. The mayor of St. Louis, her name is Lita Crewson, said, "It's irresponsible and dangerous to engage in such high-risk behavior just to have some fun over the extended holiday weekend. Now these folks will be going home to St. Louis and countless counties across Missouri and the Midwest, raising concerns about the potential of more positive cases, hospitalizations, and tragically deaths." Now, it's interesting because this is being used by the media to talk about how dangerous it is to reopen the economy and how bad it was over the weekend. But for the most part, with the exception of this one story, it seemed like people were socially distancing themselves in a responsible way. I saw video, at least on the East Coast, of beaches being reopened in New Jersey and New York. And it seemed like part of it was the weather just wasn't particularly good. But for the most part, they were handling it appropriately. They were distancing themselves, and there's no reason to close everything down if you're being responsible.
And for the most part, like, I've seen California beaches, everyone seems to be distancing themselves there, if you know, when they're out with their umbrellas.
The only ones who were close to each other, it would appear, are like families, same households. Like when you have a man and a woman and a kid and they're close together, people are like, "Oh, look, they're not socially distancing." They're probably a married couple, and this is their kid, and you actually get to do that at the beach. You don't have to distance yourself 6 feet from your husband or wife. Although in some marriages, I mean, maybe you have to. Certainly the kids can sometimes get in the way. But, you know, it's fine. When we come back, there is a story of a Karen. What is a Karen?
Karen is a woman who needs to see the manager and complain about something.
Always complaining about something. Dare I say, this is a viral video where she's not the only bad guy in this. I've got a hot take. We're going to get into it when we come back right here on the Jason Rand Show. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show live on this Tuesday afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really, really do appreciate it. There is a story that has gone viral. It's a story of a Karen. Karen is a term that the internet uses usually to go after a woman who is essentially complaining to some sort of authority figure that a rule was broken. In this case, it's a little bit different because she is clearly violating the rules. It's something that happened at the Ramble at Central Park, which is a part of Central Park where you're supposed to have your dog on a leash. And I would argue that while there are parts of this story that are cut and dry, at least to me, there's also parts that are a little bit more complex that you generally won't get when any video without context goes viral. Now, I'm going to choose to not give you the context of what happened leading up to what ended up getting caught on cell phone video, mostly because, like virtually everybody else, all I originally saw was this cell phone video of a woman named Amy, and she was arguing with a black man in a park about having her dog off leash. And in this video, she threatens to and then ends up calling the police in a way that sure sounds incredibly racist.
"Would you please stop? Sir, I'm asking you to stop.
Please don't come close to me.
Sir, I'm asking you to stop recording me.
Please don't come close to me.
Please take your phone off.
Please don't come close to me.
And I'm taking pictures and calling the cops.
Please call the cops. Please call the cops.
I'm going to tell them there's an African-American man threatening my life.
Please tell them whatever you like."
So that sounds very, very racist to me. Just the tone, almost like, I'm going to say it's an African-American who's trying to kill me, and they're going to kill you because that's what cops do. Like, that's kind of how it sounded to me in her tone. It very clearly sounded like she was trying to weaponize 911. Oh, so now she just takes out the phone. And by the way, this entire time her dog is choking.
"I'm sorry, I'm in the Ramble, and there is a man, African-American, who has a bicycle helmet. He is recording me and threatening me and my dog. There is an African-American man, I am in Central Park, he is recording me and threatening my..."
Now, you can sort of hear the dog in the background struggling to breathe because this dum-dum gives no slack to the actual dog on the leash. So she's just grabbing, it's basically almost hanging the dog.
Yeah, she's grabbing it by the collar.
It's awful.
"Myself and my dog."
You had enough.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you either. I'm being threatened by a man in the Ramble. Please send the cops immediately. I'm in Central Park in the Ramble. I don't know.
Thank you.
So the way she called 911 would indicate she's literally being hunted down by this black man with a bicycle helmet, and he intends to kill her. That's the way her voice sounds. It very clearly does not match the tone of the man, nor any of the actions that he's taken up until this point, at least that we've seen on this video. So people rightly went after this woman and called her a racist, and she does appear to be a racist woman who very clearly overreacted like a crazy person. However, as much as people want to call her a Karen, which she very clearly is, she's not the only Karen in this story. This dude, it turns out, is also crazy. Because now I see a post that was screenshot. I don't know if it still is up and it was screenshot, or if it was deleted and it was screenshot, where he gives a detailed explanation, a transcript, of the conversation leading up to that video. He says, "Ma'am, dogs in the Ramble have to be on the leash at all times. The sign is right there." He says she responded, "The dog runs are closed. He needs his exercise." Talking about the dogs. Me. "All you have to do is take him to the other side of the drive outside the Ramble, and you can let him run off the leash all you want." Her. "It's too dangerous." Me. "Look, if you're going to do what you want, I'm going to do what I want, but you're not going to like it." She responds, "What's that?" Because that sounds rather provocative. Yes,
it does.
It sounds kind of almost like you're threatening her. He goes to the dog, "Come here, puppy." She says, "He won't come to you." He says, "We'll see about that." Then he writes, "I pull out the dog treats I carry for just such intransience. I didn't even get a chance to toss any treats to the pooch before Karen scrambled to grab the dog." Then again, it quotes her, "Don't you touch my dog." That's when I started the video recording with my iPhone, and where her inner Karen fully emerged and took a dark turn. Sorry, dude, you're the Karen.
Dude's crazy.
The dude is a crazy dude. I mean, I want you to think about this for a second. And none of what it is I'm saying, calling him out, gives any excuse for her behavior. Because again, she's also a crazy person, but that's the deal. It's two crazy people interacting with each other. And when two crazy people interact with each other, you get a whole hell of a lot of crazy. Dude carries treats in his pocket for times when a dog is off leash, so he could threaten to take the dog? That actually is a threat. That legitimately was a threat. And if you're a crazy dog person, you're going to feel especially threatened after something like that.
Imagine him explaining that to his friends, like, "Hey man, why do you got a pocket full of dog treats right now? We don't have a dog." And he's like,
He only hangs out with people as crazy as he.
Nobody can be like, "Oh yeah, that's totally sane." Nobody.
Given all the context I just gave, does that not change the conversation about this a little bit? Just a little bit. Doesn't have to change it dramatically, but doesn't it change it just a tiny bit where you're a little less likely to attack her as a quote-unquote Karen than you are him?
I mean, I want to attack them both.
Yeah, they're both crazy.
Yeah.
But leading into this, the only people who are going after the woman. They're only going after her. And again, she gives great reason to go after her. And she very clearly, in my view, tries to weaponize 911. And she does so, yes, in a dark and racist way. He's also crazy. And none of this would have happened had he not decided to try to lure away a dog. What if he did that with a kid? What if everything is exactly the same, except instead of a dog, it's a kid? And she said everything she still says, and it's the same thing. Everyone would react a little bit differently. Now, let's take the racist part out of it, just for a moment. Because again, I at least think she's a crazy racist woman. Take that out. And you get the context. Would anyone even say anything about that woman? Or would they go after the dude?
Probably go after the dude.
100% of the time. Because it's a crazy dude who's patrolling the park for dogs that are not on leashes. And it is a curious way that viral stories become viral. If we had all of this on tape, including his interaction with her, it might explain some of her tone. I still think even in the context of what happened, she's clearly going overboard. But it explains some of the tone.
She's a psycho racist, and PETA needs to put his face on a poster.
Right?
That's what I think.
They're both crazy, and yet only half of this story went viral. I haven't seen many people. And by the way, his name is Christian. Now, since this all went viral, she's been outed, her full name. The company that she works for has been contacted. They posted a tweet last night saying we're aware of the instance that's being discussed on social media and we will be addressing this internally. And then she has since apologized. Her apology is probably nonsense. I don't think he's apologized for anything, this Christian guy.
Because he's the hero.
He's supposedly the hero because she said something that seemed very, very racist. And again, she's a racist. He's also a crazy dude, and no one deserves to be highlighted as a hero here. Sorry. Sorry, I'm not going to go out there and follow the rules like I'm supposed to, which means because she said something racist, she's 100% the only person to talk about. She deserves a huge chunk of the blame in all of this. Dare I say 90%. But he gets a little bit too. He is a victim here of racism. 100%. 100%. I'm glad she's being publicly shamed. I don't think you should call her boss. I think that goes a little bit too far. But she should be shamed for this, and she should never live this down. And by the way, the dog, she was choking him to death. I'm not giving this dude a pass, because I'm wondering if he does this every single day and just doesn't videotape it. Who are you, Karen, to tell that woman that she can't have a dog without a leash?
I can't get over the fact that this guy carries treats in his pocket on a daily basis.
What are the treats?
Probably just, you know,
little dog biscuits?
Yeah. What if the dog's allergic to that treat and the dog, you know, rolls over and dies?
Like I said, if there was none, if she didn't say black man in this and all she said was a man here is threatening me, completely different reaction. She screwed it up by being a virulent racist, but he's also to blame here. He doesn't get a pass. Christian, you don't get a pass. And that's the bottom line. That's the rant. See, I got you.
So bad at this.
It was a good moment. Like, that's that.
I might consider you a genius if you thought of a good one until then.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Carolyn Eslick is a state representative. She represents the 39th district. She's going to be stopping by because the Snohomish County Board of Health gave their county health officer the authority to sue businesses that don't follow his guidance. She's not happy with that. She's going to tell us why when we return on the Jason Ranch. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. The Snohomish County Board of Health has given the county's health officer, Dr. Christopher Spitters, he's now got the authority to pursue legal action against any business that doesn't follow his coronavirus health directives. This is more and more voices in Snohomish County are asking to be allowed to reopen their economy in a safe and responsible way. Joining me with her reaction is Republican State Representative Carolyn Eslick of Washington's 39th. That includes everything from Sultan and Monroe to Skykomish, Darrington, and so much more. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Jason, for allowing me to be on today.
So let's jump into this decision by the Snohomish County Board of Health. The Republicans on the board said no. The Democrats said yes, essentially giving this guy, Dr. Christopher Spitters, the right to pursue some sort of legal action, it sounds like on behalf of the Board of Health, against any business that decides to refuse to adhere to the guidelines. Is this giving him too much power?
Absolutely giving him too much power. Well, and when I read this last night, I just thought, this is the end for me. They have poked me, the bear, one too many times. I have got to go public with this disgrace to our crisis that we're having on our small businesses. So I sent out many times the information last night, and you were one of them. And so, frankly, I was surprised when you responded so quickly. Thrilled to have this chance to be able to talk for our small businesses in Snohomish County.
Absolutely, because a lot of small businesses right now, they're struggling to get by with this closed down. Why did you think this was a step too far?
Well, because this is one man that was not even elected to that position that has the authority now to take any of those small businesses and all of those small businesses to court. When all they're trying to do is to save their own small business, save for their family, I had a conversation with a local restaurant person yesterday when we all this started, and he said, I am losing my house, I am losing my business, and I have lost my employees. Employees do not want to come back to work because they're making much more on unemployment, plus the $600 a week. They're foolish to want to come back to work and make less money. Even if we were allowed to open, I don't have my employees. This is a crime. This is just a crime by small businesses.
Let's separate out two different kinds of businesses. The businesses that you referenced there with this restaurateur, people who are responsibly trying to reopen, and they're going to do everything they can to decrease the risk of spreading the coronavirus, and then the businesses that maybe aren't paying close attention to the guidance. Let's say we've got one of those businesses in Snohomish County that's just saying, you know what, we're going to open back up, we're going to do things however we want, we're not going to follow any of the rules. Do you think they should be the targets of a potential lawsuit? How would you deal with those businesses?
If I were this director, if I were the health director and be able to have that authority, I would not go in there and take them to court. My feeling is this. If customers don't want to come in because of what they're seeing, then they don't have to come in. I think we have gone way too long with this whole virus. Yes, indeed, we are still going to have some deaths. But we are going to be showing many more cases because we are testing more. And the governor, right now, I think I heard that we are testing 6,000 a day, and he wants it up to 20,000 a day. Those are impossible numbers to reach. So we will not open the whole summer if that is what he's expecting to happen.
If you guys are just joining me, I'm talking with State Representative Carolyn Eslick of the 39th District. Continue. Sorry, I cut you off.
Well, okay, so let's talk about the ones that are wanting to open that can't open, phase two. These are the restaurants and lounges that have already got their plan in place. They know that their tables have to be 6 feet apart. They know that they can only have around 30% of the normal customers to come in the door. They know that they have to sanitize everything after every customer that comes in. They know all these things, and they're ready to open. And Snohomish County is not allowed to open.
Well, and it doesn't look like it's going to open in the next few weeks. I mean, we've heard from the governor suggesting that phase two is just around the corner, but there's no promises that it's going to happen on June 1st or June 2nd. I mean, when you look at his own guidance, clearly Snohomish County would not be allowed to move into phase two.
That's right. Nor King County, nor Pierce County.
Yeah.
It's the three of us. All the other counties in the state are opening. We are not.
So what's your response to that?
I don't know what he's got against us. I just don't know what he's got against us. I mean, we in Snohomish County know what we're doing. We're responsible adults. We can deal with this. And again, when we open responsibly, and when those businesses are allowed to start bringing in the cashola and be able to pay their employees if they can get them back, there are going to be cases. We know that.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a terrible thing. But we cannot ruin our economy at the cost of a few people, right? Does that make sense?
It does. And
meaning,
what's interesting about this, about,
because I'm not cold.
No. And I hear you. I mean, I think the governor, for example, will have us believe that you're one of the state lawmakers that says we shouldn't care about people over the age of 60. We should just flip the switch and reopen. But that's not at all what you're saying. You're saying that there are unintended consequences to closing down an economy, and that we have to move in a way that's smart and responsible.
And responsible. That's right. I am over 60.
Yeah.
I am not afraid. Should I be afraid? No, because I'm not going to live under fear. We can all stay in our house and lock the door and not come out for months and let the economy continue to go down, down, down. Or we can stand up, and the ones that are sick and older and compromised, stay home. We want them to stay home. And if you feel comfortable going out and wearing a mask, wear a mask. I totally am respectful of all of that. But we can't stay in our house and let the economy die. It just infuriates me, Jason, that the big box stores are making millions of dollars at the expense of our small mom and pop businesses. There's one, there's one business in my little town that is sells furniture, sells gifts, sells birthday cards. She might get 10 to 15 people all day long. She's not allowed to open. But other ones, Fred Meyer's, the Home Depot, thousands of people go there every day. Where does that make sense?
There's no consistency coming from the governor. And I, you know, about maybe 8-9 weeks ago at this point, we've had the bigger conversation about regionally reopening, meaning we shouldn't treat Garfield or Lincoln County the same as we would Snohomish County. And now I'm wondering, and this will be the last question, now I'm wondering, is even that too much? I mean, should we be treating Monroe and Gold Bar, which are in your district, differently than, say, Everett or Bellingham, which are way different?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We have had, from East Snohomish County out, there were 5 identified cases. As far as I know today, there have been no deaths. No deaths. And when you saw the front page of the Index of the Everett Herald probably last week, an Index has had 0 cases, 0 deaths. But you know what? They don't want anybody to come there. Fine. Close it off. Put up the 2x4s. Tell them the sawhorses with a sign say, please stay home. But the rest of us want to open our businesses, and we want people to come. We absolutely have got to keep moving. And let me tell you, Jason, Highway 2 was extremely busy on the Memorial Day weekend. People are moving. They're not staying home.
Yeah, people.
We want them to stop and spend their money.
People want them to. People want to be able to go about their lives. They're going to want to do it in a safe and responsible way, which is always lost in some of the talking points coming from the governor. But people are ready, and they're adults, and they can make decisions that are best suited for them and their families and their communities. We've been talking with State Representative Carolyn Eslick. Representative, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
You as well. You've been listening to The Jason Rancho. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really, really do appreciate it.